Hey, you're listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you're enjoying the songs and would like to hear them in full, along with all the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show, plus some extra tracks that you might have missed on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m, with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m, with new episodes every other week. But for now, enjoy the Happy Hour podcast. It's time for another episode of The Happy Hour here on RNIB Connect Radio with your hosts Holly Chu
and Polina Kukhorev.
Lockdown restrictions might be easing in some places, but it's still extremely important to take care of our physical and mental well-being.
Which is why we have some suggestions coming your way, but that's coming up after Kelly Clarkson and Stronger.
You know the bed feels warmer, sleeping here alone. You know I dream in color and do the things I want. You think you got the best of me, think you've had the
last. You're listening to The Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. I'm Holly Tuke, author of the blog Life of a Blind Girl, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Paulina, producer here on the station. On the show today, we'll be chatting happy body, happy mind, happy soul, with some great music mixed in.
And coming up, we'll be hearing from Katie Barrow, who will be chatting to us about navigating parenthood and sight loss. We'll find out about free accessible dance, yoga and singing classes for blind and partially sighted people. And we're also looking at guided meditation with one of the most popular apps right now. And that's thanks to Tech Talk's Robin Christofferson.
But first, let's listen to a little throwback. Here's Bryan Adams and Summer of 69.
Now, today we're going to look a bit more at meditation. So if you're feeling a bit stressed out about having to relearn how to navigate the outside world as restrictions ease, I have a couple of recommendations to help you. And we're going to start with one of the internet's best and most popular guided meditation apps, Headspace. Here's Robin Christofferson, the head of digital inclusion at AbilityNet, and of course, co-host of the Tech Talk show here on RNIB Connect Radio. And he has a little flavor of what the app sounds like.
Alexa, open Headspace.
It looks like it's been a while since you've gotten some Headspace. Would you like to go through the tutorial again?
Yes.
Some days, meditation will feel easy. On others, it might feel difficult. The trick is to gently stay with it each time, no matter how it feels. So look for a place in your routine where this exercise can slot in easily. Research shows it's easier to create a new habit when we do it at about the same time each day. I recommend doing it first thing in the morning, but you might need to be flexible. For now, find somewhere you won't be disturbed. Don't worry too much about background noise. I'll explain how to deal with that. It might be easier at first if you have some peace and quiet, though. Make sure you're sitting comfortably before you start. Unless you're used to sitting cross-legged on the floor, I'd recommend using an upright chair. Sit with your legs and arms uncrossed, feet flat on the floor, and hands just resting in the lap or on your legs. And try to keep your back straight too, but not too tense. Sometimes putting a small cushion or a rolled up towel behind your lower back can help. And that's it. You're now ready to get some headspace.
Now that you're ready to meditate, let's get started. Would you like to begin today's meditation?
Help.
You can always ask for today's meditation, a sleep exercise, or sleep sounds. Keep in mind if you connect a Headspace account, you can access more meditations by saving them on the Headspace app. Would you like to begin today's meditation?
Yes.
Everyone wants to be happy, even those who hurt us. Realizing this does not negate their actions. but it helps us to create the conditions for understanding and forgiveness. So very often in life, if somebody else does something that hurts us in some way, ironically, they will often let go of it quite quickly themselves, while we tend to carry it around in our mind for a very long time, thinking about it, not only feeling hurt by it, but perhaps feeling a sense of hostility towards that.
Stop. Man, he has the right voice for this, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Robin. Already feeling relaxed. Now, you can try out the Headspace app for free with their basic program, or if you're looking for free meditation apps, check out UCLA Mindful or Smiling Mind. But let us know if you'd like to hear a review of those apps again, or check out episode 2 of the Happy Hour podcast. Just search on your favorite podcast platform. And if you're looking to understand meditation a little bit more whilst relaxing and perhaps learning something new, I've dived into the RNIB library and found a great title for you, Jay Shetty's Think Like a Monk, and it's available for free and in talking book format. Now, Jay Shetty is the social media superstar and host of the number one podcast On Purpose. In his book, Think Like a Monk, he distills the timeless wisdom he learned as a practicing monk into practical steps anyone can take every day to live a less anxious and more meaningful life. Now, doesn't that sound nice? So, if you're still a little bit unsure, here's a little sample.
When I was 18 years old, in my first year of college at Cass Business School in London, one of my friends asked me to go with him to hear a monk give a talk. I resisted. Why would I want to go hear some monk? I often went to see CEOs, celebrities, and other successful people lecture on campus, but I had zero interest in a monk. I preferred to hear speakers who'd actually accomplished things in life. My friend persisted, and I finally said, "As long as we go to a bar afterwards, I'm in." Falling in love is an expression used almost exclusively to describe romantic relationships. But that night, as I listened to the monk talk about his experience, I fell in love. The figure on stage was a 30-something Indian man. His head was shaved and he wore a saffron robe. He was intelligent, eloquent, and charismatic. He spoke about the principle of selfless sacrifice. When he said that we should plant trees under whose shade we do not plan to sit, I felt an unfamiliar thrill run through my body. I was especially impressed when I found out that he'd been a student at IIT Bombay, which is the MIT of India, and like MIT, nearly impossible to get into. He'd traded that opportunity to become a monk, walking away from everything that my friends and I were chasing. Either he was crazy, or he was onto something.
Now, that's an extract of Jay Shetty's Think Like a Monk. Now, to access this talking book for free through the RNIB Reading Services online library, just visit readingservices.rnib.org.uk and sign up or log in if you already have a free account set up.
I think it's really interesting how the author of that book is also a podcast creator. Do you know anything about his podcast, Paulina?
No, honestly, the only thing I know is that it's called On Purpose, and I'm going to be honest, I've not actually listened to it. It sounds really good, but in lockdown, my podcast listening has gone down whilst my, I guess, audiobooks went up, which is really odd because I think I usually listened to podcasts when I was traveling because they're so easy to digest in little chunks, whilst if you're listening to an audiobook, you can find that really awkward spot when you have to stop because you're getting off a train or you reached your destination and your friend's there.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think my music and audiobook intake has definitely gone up, but my podcast intake has gone down. Podcasts are really good, though, for when you're maybe travelling or you want some background listening at some point. So I think whilst I've been really focused on self-care and the work-life balance, I think I've gravitated more towards audiobooks and music because those are the things that I find more relaxing. Do you prefer podcasts or audiobooks? Let us know. You can email radio@rnib.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we are also on social media. So on Twitter, we're our radio...
RNIB Radio.
On Twitter, we're... On Twitter, we're RNIB Radio. And Holly, you have a Twitter account as well. You're very popular.
Oh, I wish. But for anyone that's interested, my Twitter is the name of my blog, Life of a Blind Girl, but without the I in girl.
Yeah, so definitely let us know, because we're curious. Have you been listening to more podcasts or audiobooks? And obviously everyone's at home right now, but with restrictions easing, maybe those numbers will shift again. Or who knows, maybe we're in the wrong and podcasts are the popular thing and we've just, for whatever reason, have fallen off the wagon.
And speaking of podcasts, if you would like to increase your podcast intake, then our show is actually available as a podcast. You can find it on your favourite podcasting platforms, and you can listen back to the trimmed down episodes of the Happy Hour anytime you'd like. They include all of the features, such as our recent 5-minute breathing exercise and today's audiobook recommendation from Paulina.
Exactly, so lots of content, and you're also going to be able to find one that's coming up soon, and this one's from you, Holly.
I had a chat with visually impaired mum Katie Beryl about what it's like to be a parent with sight loss and how this led her to setting up a community for others. That's coming up after Stevie Wonder and For Once in My Life.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me, somehow I know I'll be strong. I can touch what my heart used to dream of long before I knew.
Katie Beryl was diagnosed with Stargardt's in September 2017 at the age of 32. Katie is a wife, a mum, and a disability advocate. She uses her social media platforms to raise awareness of vision impairment and disability. She also runs a support group for people with Stargardt's and other macular dystrophy eye conditions. Katie joins me now. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
You're a mum to two wonderful little boys. How has sight loss had an impact on your family life?
It's not too bad for my toddler, because obviously he doesn't understand, but my 9-year-old is very aware of it. And obviously, because it's progressive, it's sometimes quite difficult for him to understand sometimes that my vision is getting worse. And it's the little things that are starting to get harder, just, you know, like making the dinner and stuff like that. And I think it's hard for my 9-year-old to watch my eyesight decrease, but to also understand it at the same time. And the little things that I did with him when he was a baby are becoming a lot more harder this time around with Sawyer. So I am noticing a difference quite a bit. So, yeah, it can be quite challenging sometimes.
I saw on your social media that you said your son used to want to fix your eyesight, whereas now he's more helpful.
Yeah, bless him. he went through a stage, obviously, when I was first diagnosed, of just wanting to fix me, but now he understands that's not going to happen, and he's just really willing to help. He's absolutely amazing at helping me with just if I'm standing there struggling with food packaging and I can't read it, he will just notice and, you know, try and help me. It's lots of little things. He's just really mindful, and it's actually really, really nice. I never put on him because I try not to let this affect them as much as it has to, but he's always just so eager to help me, and he's done that off his own back, which is actually really sweet.
How does it make you feel knowing that your sons will grow up to have a deeper understanding of vision impairment?
I actually think it's a good thing. Harvey's not just mindful about vision loss, but quite a lot of all disabilities, he's very mindful that you can't always see a disability as well. And I just think having children with, you know, empathy and understanding like that is actually a really, really good thing.
Does it make you proud knowing that he's more aware and really mindful of these things?
It does, yeah. He does make me proud. Yeah, he does. he's really caring and really loving, and I just hope Sawyer is the same. But I think with Harvey showing him, I think he will be as well.
Looking ahead to the future, how do you feel about parenthood and sight loss? Because obviously they go hand in hand.
I mean, I've got a lot of useful vision, but I think it's very doable as well, because obviously there's a lot of technology to help these days. I would always say there are ways around everything, and it is doable. I know I've got useful vision and mine's progressing, but I do think it is doable, and there are ways of managing it.
What made you want to use your social media to share your life as a parent with sight loss and also set up your support group as well for people with Stargardt's and similar conditions?
When I was diagnosed, I'd just never heard of this before, and nobody had ever heard of Stargardt's before either. And I just tried to find like a support group or something. I couldn't find anything. I wasn't told where to go from the hospital either for support. And I just thought, I want to find other people that I could potentially meet up with that also has Stargardt's. So I decided to make up my own support group and find people that way, in the hope that if I put it on Facebook, people might search it and find me. So it was to create myself a support network, but also to find others and help each other, to support each other.
Have you found that it's done the best of both worlds?
Yeah, I think so. I've found so many people on social media, not only with Stargardt's but with sight loss, that have been just so helpful. I don't know where I or how I would have managed without half of them. It's just, people have just been so kind, and I really didn't know what to do when I got diagnosed, because I didn't even know how much vision I'd lose, and it's just, social media for me has just helped me so much.
One of the things that you've spoken about recently on social media is toxic positivity, and how when you were diagnosed with Stargardt's, people told you to think happy thoughts rather than take time to grieve what you'd lost. How do you find the balance between being positive and sharing your true emotions?
I try and have a positive outlook. I have more positive days than I have negative days, but when I have the negative days, I need them, and I think anybody with progressive vision loss would say the same, because I just find if I hold in all my emotions, like this is adapting all the time, my vision's progressing all the time, and if I didn't have those negative days and felt sorry for myself, and I don't think I'd easily get to the positive ones, because I would be holding it all in to the point where I just don't think I would cope with it, if that makes any sense. I think you have to have those days to grieve, and then they enable you to get to the happier times.
Are you more aware of the negative days now and how they can help you focus on the positive days?
I think so, because once I've had a really down day, the next day I'm like, well, this is really good in my life, and this is really good. And it actually makes me think of all the positives. And, I think without sitting and dwelling on the negatives, I wouldn't maybe be able to focus more on the positives. I just think you just have to sometimes have a good cry, because vision loss isn't an easy thing to go through. And I don't think people understand, who aren't going through it, that progressive vision loss is very, very difficult. And I know it sounds silly, but I don't have any time frame either. So I'm always thinking, what if next year I can't see this or I can't do that? And, it's just, I need to think of all the things that, I'm losing, to think of all the things that I still have.
Has acknowledging all of the feelings surrounding your sight loss, both positive and negative, helped you with your diagnosis?
I still only feel like I was only diagnosed yesterday, but it has been 3 years. But I think with because mine's progressive, I don't think I've accepted it yet. I think I'm still going through, I think I'll always go through that, just trying to take each day as it comes, and, just trying to just get through day by day, but taking all the positives out of that day. And just, I never try and think too far ahead, and just try and keep going best I can.
Can you tell us a bit about your support group that you set up?
Yeah, I think I started it a few months after my diagnosis, and it's called the UK Support Group for Stag Arts and Juvenile Central Vision Loss, and it's on Facebook. You don't have to be from the UK, it's mainly UK-based information from like hospital and stuff and what people share from charities and that, but anyone's welcome to join with Stag Arts or Central Vision Loss, or anyone that feels it may be beneficial to them, even if it's someone, you know, that's got vision loss that just wants to meet other people. I think it's about 500 members on there now, and it's an active page. So I would recommend a support group for anybody, just to talk through, you know, things that you're worried about and just hear from others that are going through the same thing.
If people would like to follow your parenting and sight loss journey on social media, where can they do that?
I've got a website, which is katiesvision.co.uk, and I'm at Katie B on all my social media, and that's KAYTEEBEEXX. It's a bit of a mouthful. When I started it, I didn't really expect to, you know, I didn't expect to do this really. I started at the support group and just start an Instagram page. I didn't really think I would start any of the like social media, but it just sort of went from there, and the more people I found with sight loss, I just carried on.
Are you glad that you've started doing the work you do?
Yeah, I am, yeah. With finding other people as well, and just, you know, trying to give inspiration to other people, and just so people know that it's not always going to be easy, but you can still have a good life with sight loss, and you can, you know, sight loss doesn't stop you being a great parent, and you know, I'm no different to a fully sighted parent. I might just have to do things slightly different.
Katie, it's been brilliant to chat to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Happy Hour.
Thank you.
It's always darkest before the.
It's the Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio, and that was Florence and the Machine and Shake It Out. Now, listening to your conversation with Katie, it's so interesting because I feel like we live in this wonderful era of social media. It's everywhere, and it's so easy to assume that these communities have always been around online.
I think we often hear about the negatives of social media, but we don't always focus on the positives, such as the huge increase of connecting with other people in a similar situation and getting that advice from other blind or vision impaired people. It can help you on your sight loss journey and allow you to feel less alone.
Was this support available to you when, I guess, you were younger and you were still going through your sight loss journey?
No, I grew up not knowing many blind or vision impaired people my age. So I felt like I was going through all of the pinnacle moments of your life, like starting secondary school, going on to sixth form or college, university, employment, and all those really important milestones that we all go through. But I felt like, in a way, I was on my own, because although my sighted friends were amazing, they just didn't get the visual impairment aspect of it, because it plays a huge part. And when I started my blog, I became part of the online sight loss community, and that changed everything for me.
Because that's the thing we sometimes need. We need someone who understands, and if you can't find that near you, then there's a whole wide world just out there on the internet, and it's so close.
I think that's the beauty of social media and the internet nowadays. It just allows you to connect with others no matter where you are.
And in the past year of lockdowns and restrictions, it's probably made a lot of people realize how useful it is to have this connection when you're not able to see people or visit people, but at least there's an alternative.
When you think about it, it's just so powerful. and it's made such a huge difference in all of our lives over the last year, whether you have sight loss or not.
Yeah, and there has been a host of really amazing things available online, even not just for connection, but also for exercise, which actually brings me to our next feature today, because we're going to be hearing from Rachel Hurton from Synergy Dance Outreach, and their group has moved a lot of their accessible dance and yoga and singing classes online at the beginning of lockdown. So she's going to be talking all about this, but that is coming up, including our motivational song of the week later in the show, and we'll be hearing from Toby Davey, host of Tracks of My Life here on RNAB Connect Radio. But that's coming up right after this 90s track. Let's see if you know it.
No matter how hard I try, you keep pushing me aside, and I can't break through. There's no talking to you.
Let's talk movement today. Now, light activity of any kind can build confidence and strength. It can improve physical well-being and even aid our mental health. Now, Synergy Dance Outreach is a registered charity that provides dance, movement, yoga, art, cookery, food and nutrition workshops and fitness classes, which are accessible and available to a wide range of age groups, from children to teens and adults. Rachel Hurton is the founder of the group, and she joins me today. Now, first, let me start with a massive congratulations, because you've recently received a very important recognition for your work.
Yes, thank you so much. We've been announced winners of the Diversity and Inclusion Award with the Sport and Recreation Alliance. And it is truly an honour, because all the finalists are doing fantastic work. And we've had an incredible year where we were so determined to keep going for our service users and members that we took all our activities online, and we've done 200 pre-recorded classes for special needs, disabilities and visually impaired and blind, sort of working flat out around the clock, and also another 200 for mainstream participants. So it's lovely recognition for the work we're doing, and for our passion and mission to reach as many people in that 14.1 million in the disability community as possible. We're very inclusive and we just want to reach everyone.
And the really amazing thing is, because you already touched upon this, is it difficult to, I guess, tweak and adapt these classes so they can work for such a wide group of people?
I mean, I acknowledge, yes, target groups are diverse, and we wanted to be here for everyone. And the groups we are targeting, to answer your question, are disabilities, wheelchair-based, long-term health conditions, special needs and autism, visual impairment and blind, which has really got about four categories, because it can be mild vision impairment to completely blind, cerebral palsy, and also the deaf community. So you're right, that is a large umbrella. But what we found is, when we started to reach out to these communities, that very often service users have more than one disability anyway. And so the way we solved it was to bring on a highly specialist team of teachers. And to the more we diversified what we did, the easier it became to target each group, because each group has a specific range of needs, and we've even separated it into upper body and lower body and range of movement. So everything we do on online or face-to-face is signposted, so everyone knows what to expect. For example, if it's just Parastars yoga or Parastars dance, it's upper body and lower body, or just upper body. And it's all about just finding really talented, inspiring teachers to teach each workout in a tailored fashion. The diversifying is a key, because if we tried to do too much in one workout, tried to reach too many people, we'd be spreading ourselves too thinly. So specialism and diversification has really worked for us.
Do you think, in a way, unexpectedly, the pandemic and the last year helped you, I guess, improve the service? Because now you seem to be offering it online, you're reaching wider audiences, you're reaching audiences maybe further than you would have normally.
So before the pandemic, before COVID-19 struck, I would have said we were a regional charity. And now we've, because we've gone online and diversified, we found that gave us better flexibility to be elastic. And we literally picked up the phone and spoke to British Blind Sports, who we partnered with March last year, and said, we've got to keep going, you know, and we brought out the audios, and we both said, you know, why didn't we do it before? Because in fact, the need to pivot and experiment with ways of reaching disability audiences, special needs, visually impaired and blind, often needs you to think outside the box. And we've learned from feedback and surveys that there's a lot of challenges to getting to a gym. It's how you're feeling, it's whether you're feeling well, transport, price, even time, and convenience. You might not want to do it at 2 o'clock. You might want to do it when you wake up or at the end of the day. So we found that at-home, on-demand exercise and audio, dance, yoga and meditation, which we've innovated this year, just did open up a whole new range of opportunities that perhaps before COVID we wouldn't have considered, because it was all about on-site, face-to-face and trying to solve those problems. And now we've got a delivery where people can choose. So, and perhaps in the future, I think fitness will change for everyone, that some people obviously might always want to go to a gym. Others might want to combine. They want to have the convenience of exercising at home, perhaps with a carer, and they can set a time to repeat and practice. And some people have gone the whole hog and said, can we carry on, please? They've loved Parastars Yoga. It's challenging. It's opened up a new world to them. They've bonded with the teacher, even though it's online. Can we keep going? And they've said, you know, it's not for the faint-hearted. It's really stretching them. And they've also found that because they can do it at their convenience, on demand, repetition makes them stronger, and they're relying on the teacher a lot less. So the challenge for Synergy is to keep going, is not to be complacent, is to keep communicating with everyone that's doing these courses. And so now we're going to make them harder for people that have been doing online workouts for a year. So I think the real answer to the question is yes, it forced people to be more creative and actually to be more in tune with the audiences. Because I personally think on demand and in-person workouts work really well, but for special needs and disability communities, working from home is solves so many problems, and also price as well. If anyone's, you know, struggling financially, a lot of what we do is free, so it's almost been serendipitous.
So I guess the big question is, with restrictions easing and everyone, I guess, preparing for the return to new normal, can we expect a mix, so in person and online?
That's probably what's going to pan out. We have said to many of our service users, you know, how do you see the future? And they've said that they want to carry on with the online on-demand workouts, and they can be, they're being shared in virtual cafes, on Facebook pages. For example, we're working with British Blind Sport. We're doing Workout Wednesday, where you can meet Becky doing online yoga. And even some of their participants have said, can we carry on with some more Synergy? So that's when they can practice at home and do an on-demand course. And also for anyone that likes that social side, on the other side of the coin, we've got a young lady who's a blind teenager based in Surrey. And she's given me permission to share her experience. So she actually really likes, because she's a teenager, connecting with others in yoga. And she was doing our VR yoga over in Guildford. And what happened to her is she has been cut off during the last year. And so she has gone online. She's having one-to-ones because she's now got long COVID and she's cut off. She could only go into school for 2 weeks. So I've spoken to this family and they are keen to get back to the social experience because this young lady wants to make friends, and she's really popular, really savvy, wants that social experience. But at the same time, the online experience for her has been convenient. She's got so much stronger. She looks brilliant and she can practice. So I think both are fantastic. And I do think culture's changing and it will be a combination of on-demand exercise at home, and especially for visually impaired and blind, the audio's a fantastic way to exercise too.
So we've mentioned a wide variety of classes that you offer. where should we go to find out more about them and maybe try them out or even get in touch if we have any questions?
Sure. So we've got two main websites that talk to each other. So we've got synergydanceoutreach.co.uk. And we've also got synergydance.co.uk. So if there's any families, you'd go to the latter. And for special needs and disabilities, you'd go to the charity website, synergydanceoutreach.co.uk.
Rachel Hurton from Synergy Dance Outreach. It's been lovely chatting on RNAB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
We know just how important reading can be for everyone, whether that's to keep you busy or just to put a smile on your face. The RNIB Reading Services online library is here for you. Register for an account at readingservices.rnib.org.uk and start reading straight away. Browse and download from our growing collection of over 30,000 talking books, newsagent titles and even sheet music on your smartphone, tablet, computer or other reading devices. RNIB Reading Services allows you to keep your books until you're finished and there's no need to renew. Get talking books in DAISY format. Enjoy a selection of e-braille books to work on an electronic braille display, such as the Orbit Reader 20. Search for RNIB Reading Services online or call the helpline on 0303 123 9999 and tell them you're interested in the Reading Services Library or any other of the great RNIB services we offer.
You're listening to The Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. And we're coming to the end of the show, but we have one final thing for you. It's our motivational song of the week. A track that means a lot to us. Maybe it gives us a bit of motivation when we need it. Or it's associated with a significant moment in our lives.
Or it could be lyrics that resonate with us. Or any other reason that makes a song special to you. It doesn't matter.
This week's Motivational Song of the Week is chosen by fellow producer on RNIB Connect Radio and host of the Tracks of My Life show, Toby Davey.
So if you're like Toby and you would like to let us know what song means a lot to you and be featured on the segment and share your Motivational Song of the Week with us, just email The Happy Hour. It's radio@rnib.org.uk. You can message us on Twitter at RNIB Radio or find us on Facebook. We're RNIB Connect Radio.
We're going to say our goodbyes now and let Toby play you out with the final track of the show.
See you soon.
So my happy track is 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Colton. And the reason I've chosen this track is because it takes me back to memories of the first few meetings I had with my wife, Sarah. You know, it was early dates, those types of dates. And we were living in London at the time and we were on a bus journey. I can't remember where we were going. We were going somewhere and we just were playing this song on our iPhones at the time. And it just takes me back to those sort of early days, early memories of a relationship and really, you know, sort of nice, fond memories. And, you know, it really does, you know, make me feel happy. At the time, you know, I and I think Sarah at the same time, we had, you know, obviously I was in my mid-30s and thinking, gosh, am I going to find the right person? And then, funnily enough, you do. So I think there's hope out there for everybody. You know, you might be looking for somebody and you might find them in the unexpected places. So I would say to anybody who's thinking, gosh, am I going to ever meet the right person? You will. You will meet that person. I think you've just got to hold back, be yourself, and you will find that right person.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces pass and I'm homebound. Staring blankly ahead, just making my way through the crowd.
Hey, you're listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you're enjoying the songs and would like to hear them in full, along with all the interviews, tips, and our chat, just catch the full show, plus some extra tracks that you might have missed on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. And we have new episodes every other week. But for now, I hope you enjoyed the Happy Hour podcast and we'll see you on the next episode.